If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.
Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Well, hello from the land of light and life and fire and smoldering.
Yes.
So,
yes. Elvira and I are a little bit, pardon the pun, burnt out. We're a little bit fried and crispy. And we're not sure how long we're going to talk tonight. So, thank you for listening. And we'll see. We may get 5 minutes. We may get 5 hours. We don't know. It's been a very intense ride.
Yes.
For all of the people here in the Sonoma, Napa, Mendocino counties, and for Phoenix and I.
Yeah.
I have to say, Phoenix, rising from the ashes.
I know. Jeez. I was talking about that today with Polly, one of the other readers at Milk and Honey. I was like, why Phoenix? Why did I take the name Phoenix?
Oh, crap.
So today, just so we have some context, is Friday, October 20th. And we are a week and a half in from the massive wildfires that took out a very large chunk of Santa Rosa, California, and Glen Ellyn, and a few other areas,
mm-hmm.
and left many people without homes, and people were evacuated from their homes for a week or more, including Elvira.
Yes, luckily we are at my home, so it has stayed the course.
Yes, yes. So it's greatly impacted us and our community and our neighborhoods. And so we thought, instead of talking about what our original plan was for this evening, we would talk about that and give some space to share that and some coping mechanisms for the things that each of us have done and used to make it through the last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. and to share that so that maybe folks, because moving forward, this isn't done.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fires are still not out. They're less threatening to homes and humans right now,
right.
but they're not out even after rain yesterday.
Well, it's containment is how
yeah.
they put it versus being out.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is happening, but also natural disasters happen all over the place, all the time.
Uh-huh.
These fires happened on the back of two really major hurricanes in the United States, in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. And shit, while this was happening, there was a hurricane in Ireland,
uh-huh.
which was tripping me out.
Uh-huh.
And it's really hard.
Yeah.
So
So we thought we would talk about all that fun stuff.
Truly. So obviously the standard way we open our show is we go, so what was your week like? And I guess in a strange way, it's going to be pretty much what was it like for you, Phoenix, in the circumstances of what has been happening.
Sure. Well, So, 2 weeks ago, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. I can't believe it's only been 2 weeks. It feels like it's been forever. 2 weeks ago, Saturday, my son was married, and we had a beautiful wedding and family and loveliness. And the next day, we had more family and loveliness as family was still in town and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monday, so Sunday night is when the fires started. And Monday morning, so Sunday night was really windy.
Oh, heavenly.
I do not like windy.
Mm-hmm.
I get really nervous. I don't sleep well. Wind has often been a portend of bad things or difficult challenges in my life. I went into labor on a windy night.
You know? Oh, my.
So it's like that is all, wind has always made me very anxious, and I was very anxious at night, and I didn't sleep well. And then at about 5 o'clock in the morning, normally I wake up about 6 to 6:30 to drag the teenager out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
But at 5 o'clock, I noticed that my cell phone kept going off. So I'm like, geez. And then I think, oh, no, maybe someone's ill or a family member's been taken to the hospital or something. And my, you know, freak out begins. And I look at my phone and there is missed call after missed call and text message after text message. Are you guys okay? School's been canceled. Are you guys okay? We're in the fire zone. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Mm-hmm.
So part of my the town I live in was being evacuated, not the side that I live on, but close enough as far as I was concerned.
Yeah.
So my partner and I began to pack things because we thought we had time. And I woke up my daughter and told her, apparently the world is on fire and you don't have school today.
Oh, my.
I need you to pack a bag.
Uh-huh.
Pack the things that are irreplaceable that you would be heartbroken to lose.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we did. And then we made phone calls and we turned on the news and we got sucked into the firestorm. And thankfully, we never ended up getting evacuated. The fire that was the closest to my house was contained pretty quickly in comparison to some of the other fires.
It's called the Presley Fire.
Presley Fire. Presley. Yeah. And it was part of the Crane Canyon Park, which is very close to where I live. And then I spent the next 7 days, because now we're, what, at day 10?
Mm-hmm.
I spent at least the next 7 days constantly watching fire updates, checking Facebook, reading fire maps, obsessing over where the flames were now. We had some friends who were evacuated come and stay with us just for a night, but that was enough to, you know, recognize how precious and I don't know. Life is just precious.
how really in the real world, how important it is.
Yeah.
Of being here and being with people that you care about or that you are safe.
Right. Right. And when my daughter's father was evacuated, his home is literally on the line. If you look at the map of evacuations, he's right on the border.
Uh-huh.
And his house is fine, but he has a harrowing tale of trying to escape. It's terrifying.
Uh-huh.
And I am very grateful that my daughter was not at his house when that happened and that she did not have to experience that.
Uh-huh.
And my heart breaks for all of those people who did and all of those people who didn't make it.
Uh-huh.
Is it about 24? Is it more than that now?
More than that. Yeah.
25 to 30 people lost their lives.
Yeah. In varying situations. And, you know, we haven't even, this is where I'll get teary. We haven't even been able to get anything as to the animals.
Right.
And we're not talking wildlife, of course. That is very important, especially in our traditions.
Yeah.
But we're talking the pets, the pets that we have taken on responsibility for,
right?
And
being an animal person, that really is hard.
My daughter's father lives in an apartment complex, and they were up. He just happened to be up at almost midnight,
mm-hmm.
and went outside and saw the hillside behind his
mm-hmm.
house on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Him and a friend went and woke up every person in their apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
They knocked on every door and got everyone up to tell them what was going on, and that was happening all over those neighborhoods. And in some cases, we had hurricane-force winds, 70-mile-per-hour winds that
mm-hmm.
night, so the fire was spreading incredibly fast. In fact, I read an article that said that they have no other fires like this that have been recorded, and they're going to be studying how fast this fire spread.
Right.
So many people didn't make it, and of course, if you're scurrying to get out of your house and just keep your butt alive and get in the car and drive away, if your cat lives outside, if you have a rabbit that lives in, or chickens or whatever,
right,
those things didn't always make it.
Yeah.
And that's really hard.
And it's really hard. And then there are beautiful stories about people who have been able to get their animals back, or that, you know, the dog Izzy that has made it onto Facebook and everything. And
Odin, did you see Odin?
No, I didn't see Odin.
Oh my God, I freaking love this. So Odin is a sheep herding style dog, big white fluffy dog.
Uh-huh.
And they couldn't find him, and he takes care of a herd of goats.
Right.
And so they just assumed Odin and the goats didn't make it through the fire. And then, I don't know, 5 days ago, they found Odin. He had safely shepherded the whole flock of goats. Safe the whole time.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, my gosh. I know that. Oh, that is.
Yeah.
And it's funny. There's a sidebar to that. One of the shows, actually, more recently, we were setting up to do was for Odin. So that's kind of interesting.
I think it was supposed to be today's show.
It was going to be Odin today.
Yeah. So there you go.
So there we are. We have an Odin
story.
That is awesome. Well, I know that, that is a big part of our lives, whether, or not we acknowledge the fact of how important our pets are to us and the animals that we have decided to take on. But, yeah. It was harrowing.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And, it's interesting because Phoenix's husband actually, ex-husband, lives up at, just above me, actually in the same area.
Right.
And when she's talking about being on the line, my mobile home park is literally on the line of where mandatory evacuation and advisory evacuation.
Right.
And throughout both of the mandatories, the section I'm in had stayed advisory.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the first day, which is what she was talking about there, a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, who is a wonderful belly dancer and who's always seen at the Mystic Fair and has put the belly dance troops together, Tracy, was literally evacuated out of her place with her husband, her child, and the dog, and one cat. They couldn't, because the outside cat they couldn't find.
Yep.
And their place burned down to the ground. She was texting some of us to be aware that there is a fire, and that was when I went outside, and I was up. I was in my bed. I was reading, it was 12:30,
yep.
And I went out, and I saw the glow, and I went down to my assistant manager's house, and they had their TVs on, and, so we started preparing, and I have a senior park, so you got to think of how these people feel about moving fast, some of them, but we prepped.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, 2:30, 2:33 o'clock, it was, we want you all out. Management decided it was not because we had to, but it was a decision. Management said, no, I want everyone gone.
Well, that's good. The most of the casualties that have happened were at a mobile home park for seniors on
mm-hmm.
the other side of the hill.
Right.
That's where most of the casualties have been. It just moved so fast. I think that's why.
Well, and that was really moving fast.
Yeah.
And it was the Tubbs Canyon. It was there. It was coming up, but it had too many canyons. And, the fire and the wind and everything.
Yeah.
And it did get down to Badger, which is, maybe two blocks from Montecito.
Yes.
But it was not, it was coming in, it wasn't doing it like full force, like a sheet. So it, pieces got taken.
Now there's, it's interesting because the hillside, this is the first time I've been to this side of town. I was really, actually, honestly, transparently, I was kind of afraid to drive to this part of town today. I'm getting emotional because I just thought all the hills are going to be wiped out. But there are these, like, fingers of burn. It's not like, I've seen wildfire before. It happens in California pretty regularly, and it's usually very rural.
Yes.
You know, or along the side of a freeway, like a whole swath. But this is like little fingers of burnt into the hillside. It's not like a whole sheath or whatever.
No.
It's really
it
terrifying.
It is. It really is. And, you know, so I basically started packing, and I have two dogs, and so we had already been prepped for earthquake.
Yeah.
So some of my stuff was already set up for emergency for dogs and me, but then it became like, well, I got papers and I've got this and, you know, and of course the only thing I did forget was a dog pen, which I could have done, and that was sort of like a, like, oh shit. But a friend of mine and his friend, the promoters of Mystic Fair, came over and helped me.
Nice.
And, you know, they were just like, okay, let's get going, you know, and so they took me to my office. Well, as always, you have some dramatic flair for something that goes on, and as I was, you know, making sure I got the animals and everything's packed and all that, we're ready to go, I walk out of the house and, of course, lock the door, like, you know, well, you got to lock the door for obvious reasons, and we take off, and, of course, there are cars, there are traffic. It isn't wall-to-wall inching, because we were going to go back down and go into town, so it wasn't, it was going away, and so there was still enough of a space. And we get halfway to my office, which is about near the Flamingo Hotel, and I freak out because I don't have my purse. And I had left my purse on the table next to the door because I was getting the dogs, and I put it, you know.
I don't want to forget it. I'll set it right here.
Walked right off. Freaked me out. It's got everything in there that is a viability that will, you know, driver's license. I'm driving without a license, you know, that kind of thing. So I turn to Alan, my friend, and I go, you have to go back. You have to go back. And he's like, I don't want to go back. No, you have to go back. At which point, he did go back with Al, with David. I went off to the office, still shaking and, you know, pretty upset, and started emptying everything out and bringing it into my office, which is a small little square.
It's a room, basically.
It's a room, and there's a little sink and a bathroom off of the central area for all the other little offices that break onto it. And I get everything sort of set up and try to kind of, you know, get organized. And then they come back and they give me my purse, and I'm fine. And I'm fine in the sense that I've landed somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, the dogs are as terrified as I am. They smell
weird.
The fire. They're in places where they don't have, you know, any knowledge of the noise. So they were pretty antsy. So getting any sleep was out of the question. And, of course, then at a certain point, people started texting or calling to see if I was okay. And, you know, so Monday was not the best day in the sense of any kind of finding anything other than just that I'm here and getting busy. So, you know, going over things and checking and making sure all that. And then eventually I contacted a friend of mine and said, can I come take a shower here? And so I kind of came with stuff, and I sort of, she was a very sweet lady. And she was very gracious, and I just, you know, sat with them at dinner, and the dogs were in their, because she's not a dog lady, so they were in their carrier in the second bedroom, and she and her significant other were entertaining, and they had me there. And finally, I just looked at them, and I kind of, these puppy dog eyes, and they said, stay. And so I stayed literally for 7 days, and then it was time for me to come back, and by then, the area was in a space where it could.
Right.
But I did come back a couple of times and, you know, check on everything.
Yeah.
And several people in this park stayed.
Yeah.
All the way through the thing, except for the one mandatory where they all came and knocked on the doors.
Yeah.
And that was when it was starting to come with the hill you were thinking of when you were going to drive.
Yeah.
That whole thing from Skyhawk and, you know, Oakmont. And then there were, and they only left for one day and came back.
Yeah.
So,
and there were, you know, there were many folks who were saying, I'm not leaving, I'm not leaving, even during mandatory evacuations. And what ended up happening, I've I've heard a lot of stories. I've, like I said, I was obsessing about all of this for a week and a half. Everything I ingested through my eyes and my ears, and literally like felt like I was eating this stuff, was about the fires. I've been obsessed with it, and it's probably not good. It's probably increased my panic and trauma. However, it made me feel better to be paying attention, right? But the fire guys and gals, people, the fire people, were going and saying, you're being evacuated. And if people said, nah, I'm staying, they would go, okay, well, if you leave, please put up caution tape that you've left so we know that we don't have to check this area for a body there. Because they don't have time. If you've been evacuated, you need to go.
Right.
You need to go. Right. There's a reason. So it's just, it's been interesting. And what's been beautiful is how the community has come together.
Yes.
And because I'm in this specific Facebook group of folks talking about, like, where can I take donations? Where can I pick up donations?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need diapers. Where do I donate diapers? You know, like, all these things happening. And as the fires were burning, people were posting, hey, there's evacuations here. Hey, this road is closed. And so it's, like, been this place to bring community
together. That next door?
No, it's a group on Facebook.
Oh, on Facebook,
specifically
okay.
About the fire.
Yeah, because they actually have one that you can join. It's called Next Door. And it's set up similar to this, where people, you know, text in, and it becomes like an invite group. But, yeah, it was very heartening.
Yeah, people have just really given. And you know, there's been a few folks who have reached out to me because I've got my fingers in a few different communities. And, you know, where can I bring donations and where can I drop off stuff? And, honestly, I have not been in a capacity to hold any of that. So thankfully I know, like, hey, go talk to this person or go talk to this person or go talk to this person. And a lot of places are saying that they can't take any more donations. So what I've been saying in response to that is, well, don't get rid of that stuff. Because in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks, in a month, when there are still people who are displaced, when there are still people in need, we're going to need that stuff.
Right.
It's easy to go into, like, disaster cleanup mode and do all of this right now, but this isn't going to be over now.
No.
This is going to take years to clean up, years to recover from, and in the short term, months and months and months of people who are going to be in need. So for, you know, for local folks or even folks far away who may be listening and want to do something, please remember, and not just for Sonoma and Napa and Mendocino counties in California, but also for the Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma, any area that's gone through a natural disaster, when the storm has passed, it is not over for those people that live there.
Of course not.
And you've got to remember that.
Yes. And, you know, I think that part of what, I guess, we're sharing the immediacy of what it was like, and for those people who either are listening and haven't gone through this or people that have, you know, it is something that it suddenly makes you very aware of your moment-to-moment existence. And I know Phoenix was talking about the Facebook and the maps. I did it every night, even when I wasn't here, every night to see if this place was going to be here or, you know, what was going on. Yeah. Because, you know, at one point, I texted my daughter that I was okay and that we had evacuated. And she's 2 hours ahead of me, so she was already at work, and she commented back on her text, I'm at work. And I'm like, okay, fine. You know, like, don't bother me, Mom, I'm at work. And I said, okay, fine. Well, I left it alone because I figured that was sufficient. I'll go on to whatever else I have to do now. And then I get a call. Mom, are you? Yeah, I got it. What's happened? Oh, my gosh. You know, I heard it. Some one of my people here told me that this was happening, and we saw it, and then it became real. And she was born and raised here, so she started firing off questions, you know, about where, and the fact that it took out Marquis Springs Road and Larkfield area. That's where the house that we had that she was born in, well, almost born in, but raised in for 10 years of her life, and the elementary school was Ribley Elementary. And so she's like, is the house? I said, darling, it's gone.
Yeah.
And then she said, what about Ribley? And I said, it's gone.
Yeah.
And then the only, and this is interesting because, you know, she was like talking about her friends who have stayed and that, you know, I said, well, I know they're okay. They evacuated, da, 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 this and that and the other thing. And then, you know, different people. But when I told her the round barn.
Yeah.
had burned down is when I started having a teary child on the other end.
Yeah.
And she's an adult, but she was a child at that point. She says, my history is gone.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And
it's a landmark
it's
for
a
anyone
landmark.
Who's been into Santa Rosa,
yeah.
For anyone who's spent time in this area.
Yeah.
It's
and
a landmark. It was a landmark.
It was a landmark. And, you know, it becomes part of, you know, it's like, I lived in L.A. You know, L.A., either they had them shake down and broken by earthquakes.
Yeah.
Or most of the time they spend their time bulldozing things down to make something that goes in that's bigger, taller, which, of course, is absolutely ludicrous on a fault, but sure, why not? Let's build it. So it was never about history as per se because it was always regenerating itself down there.
Right.
Here, there's more of that desire to keep the history.
Right.
And so, of course, that got her very emotional. But she spent, like, the first week making sure every day. And
yeah.
And it kind of made me smile in the sense that I was suddenly where I was a concern. You know, mom is always going to be okay. Mom is safe. We know mom's all right. She's, you know, it's because of the touchstone.
Yeah.
I am the touchstone.
Yeah.
And suddenly there is a difference because of what happened. So I think each of us has had an excursion into the impermanence of our lives.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm not just talking about people we know that die of illness and we realize our mortality. I'm the impermanence of everything.
Yes, absolutely. And it's been interesting, you know, I've been in the shop, Milk and Honey, was closed for a couple of days. And then just to be clear, it's a business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's no customers, there's no money coming in, and
mm-hmm.
there's nothing for me to pay any employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for a few days, I had to tell my staff to not come in, and myself and Guian worked all the shifts that there were.
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't people coming in, of course, everyone. And the folks who did come in were like zombies, like
yes.
altered and broken and not completely fully in their bodies, not grounded. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's still happening, although I'm also starting to see people who are now, like, breathing and feeling calm and
mm-hmm.
looking, you know, now we're having people who are coming in saying, I lost everything and I want to replace this dot, 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 you know. And it's so hard because I've been obsessing and living in the panic for so many days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe we'll take a break and then talk about some
right.
ways to deal with
right.
all of that. But now I'm recognizing because of my work in the world, every day I'm going to be holding this energy with people who are living through it with me, people who lost everything, people
mm-hmm.
who know someone who lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a single person who this hasn't personally touched, either from losing their home, being evacuated, living in terror for a week.
Right.
You know, it's been, we keep saying harrowing. That is the best freaking word. It's been harrowing. And it's exhausting.
But on the side of how it has suddenly made people turn to other people and say,
yeah.
How are you?
Yeah.
Or waiting for them to cross the street or doing something that in the normal way of people's lives they had lost. Sad as it always is, but this is a very realistic point of reference of the community moving together and how grateful they've been showing it everywhere they can.
Absolutely.
Of the first responders,
yes.
The people that have come in. And I mean, it's been...
They're starting to leave and I'm feeling nervous.
Yes.
Oh, we're not ready. Please don't leave.
No. I don't want you to go. But that I think is...
Yeah.
It's been really interesting how this energy has shifted. And I'm hoping... It will dissipate a bit
because
humans go back
they
to
do.
Their normal.
They do.
But I think it will keep a level.
Hold
it's
it.
Kind of
yeah.
like
yeah.
Christmas
yeah.
and how you see people in
yeah.
certain instances, like all the stories and the movies, they talk about Christmas cheer and,
yeah.
and shifting and changing and how we then kind of lose it over the
yeah.
following year and then gain it back again. I don't want to say we'll have disasters to gain it back, but I hope it stays at a higher point.
Right. I have a few friends who have been volunteering at the different disaster relief sites,
mm-hmm.
and one specifically where the first responders have been staying,
mm-hmm.
and they've been going and doing herbal treatments
mm-hmm.
and offering massage
mm-hmm.
and acupuncture for the firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard this several times. The firefighters have made comments about how they've been treated so well in this community, like they've never experienced community coming out and taking care of them as much as
mm-hmm.
we have. And
mm-hmm.
and that's so heartening. And at Milk and Honey, we have a little sandwich board that I put out front
mm-hmm.
of the shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says Milk and Honey, and then it lists, like, we sell all this cool shit, come and buy stuff. But I changed it, and I wrote, thank you, first responders.
Mm-hmm.
And today, three of them walked by, and they all started to smile and clap each other on the back and stuff. It totally made me start crying. I was like, yay, at least three of them saw my sign. Yay.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was like I went to Walgreens to pick up something today, and there were two of the policemen that had been pulled from some other major community, and they were there, and they said they're leaving it in a couple of hours. But everybody came up to them and said, thank you. And as they left after they checked out, we all yayed and said, thank you. And when I was driving into my community here, they had all the it was really kind of weird, National Guard with all their camouflage, you know, and some of the Humvees, and it was kind of, you know, interesting and intense. But I stopped at each one of these streets that they had blocked off because of the mandatory section and thanked them.
Yeah.
And just said, thank you. And it was like, we can't thank every one of them, but the ones we can.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
It makes a difference.
It does.
So do you want to start for a commercial break?
Sure, let's do that. And
okay.
Then we'll talk about, like,
how to get on with
it. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
Which I didn't do.
No, none of us did.
All right, we'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood, Sundays 3 to 4:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Dania, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7, all times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Oh, we're back. Yes.
We were just noticing and discussing during the break that, you know, we both do spiritual counseling and we both pursue professional reading and we give people advice on how to deal with trauma. And I was saying, you know, I tell people, like, well, duh, just do this thing. And then I find myself in a situation where I'm experiencing trauma and panic and all my tools right out the window.
I know. That shows that at least it shows we're definitely human. I mean, we're not out of a pod or something.
Right.
But one of the things that I have found for me,
yeah.
and a lot of it is if you have the ability when you're taking a shower, I've set up a little spritzer bottle of Epsom salts and vinegar.
Mm.
And I've done like 3 tablespoons each and stuck it in a spritzer. And what I do is I use it to spray myself down.
Yeah.
I wash, I clean off, and I spray myself down. And then I rinse it off because obviously you don't want vinegar smell.
Sure.
But what it does is it moves the energetics of the emotional body
yeah.
and cleanses it and rebalances it.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that every day, and that has been probably the one thing that I remembered out of any of it, but then I've been doing it on a regular basis before
right.
then,
right,
because I'm dealing with so many people's energy.
And that, I want to make it one step simpler than that.
Okay.
Take a shower.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Because, like, I hear your recipe, and I'm like, oh, that's a really great idea. I didn't even bathe for 5 days.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even take a shower. And I realized, you know, some people stress eat and some people can't eat when they're stressed.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned now I don't eat when I'm stressed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I'm not even hungry. And I am a eater. I love food.
As you can tell by the fact that I have a plethora of cookies.
Oh, yeah. Elvira says, what kind of cookies do you want? And brings me like 10 different kinds, and I've been eating all of them.
She's better.
Yes, I am better, actually. But it's the very simple basics. Have you taken a bath or a shower today? No?
Mm-hmm.
Go take one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you eaten in the last 4 hours? No? Go eat something.
Right. Drink
water until it's literally running out of your body.
Yep.
Drink water. And these are just basic human needs,
mm-hmm.
right? If
mm-hmm.
you can at least take care of those basic needs, then you're at least keeping your body functioning.
Right.
Because when your emotions and your mind are in a panic state, and then you start not taking care of your body,
mm-hmm.
then you're prone to illness, then you break out in a rash like I did,
mm-hmm.
then you get sick. And when you're dealing with a disaster like fire, the air is not safe to breathe.
Right.
And so you are already going to be putting toxins into
mm-hmm.
your system.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you can do to keep your body healthy, the better your mind and spirit are going to be able to deal with processing what's going on.
Right. And it's interesting, she was mentioning about eating, is that I noticed my eating habits have changed.
Yeah.
I am eating, but not a lot.
Yeah.
I will eat something in the middle of the day, and then I really don't want anything in the evening. I will find something to gnash on, not cookies. I usually, you know, like something a little bit more profound, but not necessarily a lot of it.
Yeah.
But I have found, and that is interesting, because I'm not a big water drinker. I haven't been until I visited my daughter in the South and the Midwest, and that you humidity, you got to drink water. And so that got kind of put in there. But I have been drinking water like mm-hmm. can't believe, mm-hmm. because the air is so dried out from the heat of the fires.
Yeah.
That you're, you know, it's just like, oh,
yeah,
being in the desert.
Yeah.
So Phoenix is right. It's the basics. If you have the other little things, great. You know, something easy, something simple. If I were to say to anybody at this point in this area, we were just chatting about that, you know, lighting a candle for ourselves. Most of us freak out now about fire.
No, I couldn't. I wanted to set a light. You know, because many of us witches were like, what magic can we do
mm-hmm.
for this?
Mm-hmm.
And so I participated in some spell work that I feel really strong and positive about. And I you know, my go-to is to set a light. My go-to
mm-hmm.
is to burn a candle. And
mm-hmm.
that felt like the worst idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so I set out a bowl of water.
Yes.
And did prayer work. And I would take it and sprinkle it around my house or in the direction I knew the fires were burning.
Right.
Sending that water energy,
right.
water energy, you know, but burning a candle, or even, like, I know my psyche and my spirit body is filthy, and normally I would sage myself off. Nope, I don't want to be around smoke right now. I don't
mm-hmm.
want anything to do with
mm-hmm.
anything burning.
Mm-hmm.
So I've altered to Florida water
mm-hmm.
and doing a little cleanse, putting Florida water on the palms of my hands and the back of my
mm-hmm.
neck, breathing that in, having to shift my regular way of doing things.
Right.
And, you know, if I just went through a hurricane, maybe I would feel totally different about this water.
Yeah.
Maybe I wouldn't want to use Florida water, or I wouldn't want to do any water work. I might want to do
fire
work, right?
Right. You want the opposite element.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as you're looking at it, look at what you have. The opposite element to fire is water.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite element to water is fire. And then you've got, you know, you've got earth.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of both fire and water, what has happened is both those elements overrode
yeah.
the earth.
Yeah.
And you throw in air there kind of adding its bit. I don't know. That was just
yeah.
so bizarre.
It's a perfect storm.
It really was. And,
yeah.
you know, the rest of... But you really... I actually found certain things, if I could do an organization, if I could put my mind to work on something.
Mm-hmm.
Now... You know, it depends on what happened in your life as to what you could do. Like when I was at my office, my car has prepared things in it that is a bag for stuff. And, of course, the bag that was at the door here for, you know, emergencies. And so I have a bunch of shit all over the place. So I basically brought everything in and very calmly
mm-hmm.
started to organize the mm-hmm. process and put it into some kind of connectedness. Because in doing that, you can feel that you're taking control of
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
And organizing something.
Right.
So I don't know, in terms of whatever disaster you may be in or experience, that may be something you can do. If you've lost everything, that isn't something you can do.
Yeah. And if you're in a full-blown panic attack, there's a few different tricks that I've been taught. One of them is a breathing exercise where you breathe, you plug one nostril, I'm plugging one nostril, and you breathe in, and then you plug the opposite nostril and breathe out, right? And you do that over and over and over and over until you can sink back into your body.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way. It's worked for me once. I've tried it a couple of times. It doesn't always work for me, but you got to try different things.
Right.
There's a way of, if you're having a full-blown panic attack and you need to come back into your body, to shift your perception. So naming out loud, what is one thing you see right now? What is one thing you hear right now? What is one thing you can feel right now?
Mm-hmm.
Engaging your other senses so that you're not just going into the hamster wheel of panic in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, I encourage folks to just have a handful, two or three of these tricks that you know will work for you.
Right.
Because you never know when something is going to kick out your feet from under you.
Right.
You need some coping mechanisms.
Right.
And there's lots of them.
Right.
Breathing techniques are also really, really good because it forces you to focus on your body.
Right. You breathe deep into your belly and out through your, in through your nose, out through your mouth, that kind of a thing. You don't hyperventilate, but the point is that you slowly do this.
Yeah.
And I usually give like clients like 5 deep breaths. You know, this is assuming, you know, you can do this in the morning and then the middle of the day and the evening. You should you space them out, but you create that, because when you do breathe and you bring oxygen in, you're basically setting off endorphins, which is the feel-good ones, and why we exercise.
Right.
It brings the endorphin levels up. You know, obviously, telling you to stroke a cat or a dog or, you know, some sort of a thing, or a fluffy plush toy. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I go, this is giving my real secrets away. Back when I was traveling on the planes and I was going to Europe, my stepdaughter, who went with us one time with my husband and her boyfriend, gave me this little plush animal. It's a unicorn with little wings. So it's not a My Little Pony thing. It was just one of these things. And, of course, because my favorite color is purple, it's white with little purple hooves and horn. And so I used it actually as a neck thing because it was like kind of like the Beanie Babies without being Beanie Baby. And so I used it instead of one of the little neck things. Well, that little animal has gone with me everywhere.
Yeah.
And when I left here, I made sure I took it with me.
Oh, yeah, I packed one of my stuffed animals.
You know, and it was, I would hold on to it. I had dogs, and they curl up with me, and that made me feel good, and it was like a breathing feeling. But that other little stuffed animal was the thing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because it is part of your childhood.
Yeah.
In terms of that. So it's visceral, and it sets up something of that nature.
Right.
So that's always something. You might have something from your childhood, or you might have something that is special to you now. But make sure you have one.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That was something of importance. And, you know, it was so funny. When I came back the second time to my house, I went and got a couple more things, and I said, my dog, Pen. And I have all these beautiful statues and all these altars around my house that I have, and they're part of my world. And I kept looking at them going, one statue I'm going to take. Just that's it. And I heard it was the weirdest thing out of nowhere. Leave everything on the altar. It was a directive. And I went, okay.
Yeah.
And I walked out doing just that.
Yeah, I got a similar message. I was never evacuated.
No.
I went and combed through the house.
Yeah.
What gets passed?
Right.
And it was very clear. I'm like, okay, who's coming? And all of them were like, we do not just exist in a statue. We do not need to take up space.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was just that. And I went, oh. And then when I realized wherever I have lived, including this mobile home, every place has had a name.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always told me its name.
Yeah.
And this particular place, I couldn't figure out what it was, you know, mobile. I don't know. But the lady that was the wife of the person I bought this from painted lighthouses in the bathroom. There are certain ways in the bathroom. They have certain little things. And she painted lighthouses. And I went, oh, that's so kitschy. I can't do this. And so I couldn't paint over him, but I covered him in cloth. And then I kept going, what is your name? And then suddenly it was like some brick hit me.
Yeah.
And it's like Pharos, the lighthouse at Alexandria.
Mm.
So I got a little plaque, and I had its name put on the front, so it has its name. And then I began to realize when I left, this was a lighthouse.
Yeah.
This was part of anchoring. And one of the things you realize when you're as pagans, as witches, we create energy in our spaces.
Yeah.
And those are the energies that we do wards and we protect and we do all of this in so many ways. But they're generators.
Yeah.
So in light of what was going on, I personally firmly believe that that's what happened here.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to say it saved the place, it added a bubble of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the weird part is that this particular mobile home park is a small one, but it's set up. I never knew this until I looked at it from like Google Maps.
Mm.
It's set up like an eye,
mm.
literally. So the outside set of the road is
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
The center one is the beginning of
right.
it, and then the clubhouse is the pupil.
Interesting.
And it was really weird. And so all of this came to me.
So
but
much
when
ISIS stuff has been coming up. That makes
yeah.
me think of ISIS,
yeah.
right? The Eye of Horus.
The Eye of Horus.
The first two folks who came into the shop who were looking to replace items,
mm-hmm.
both were looking for ISIS.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So weird. Well, she went to the underworld. There's the whole her whole myth. So there is that.
Mm.
You know, so you, I think a lot of when we talk about what can you do, how can you handle the
yeah.
process, there's your physical body
yeah.
and the emotional and
right.
the mental states of mind and, you know, all the things you go through. And then there is the spiritual.
Yeah.
And
I think that people, you know, like I mentioned, this Facebook group that I'm connected to, and, you know, it's regular folks
uh-huh.
that live in this area.
Uh-huh.
It's not all witches.
Uh-huh.
We live in a progressive area, so
uh-huh.
people may be more attuned to meditation or chakras
right.
or whatever. But, you know, they're not all pagans.
Uh-huh.
And people are sharing things like, you know, I'm crying every day. They're still in shock. They're still going through these emotional upheavals, and it's, you know, they've been feeling this for 2 weeks, and that's
uh-huh.
a lot
uh-huh.
to be in panic
uh-huh.
for 2 weeks. And yes, you can't expect it to just be done.
Right.
You can't look at your watch and say, okay, it's over now.
Uh-huh.
It takes the time that it takes. And for you, it might take 6 months. For your neighbor, you may have had the exact same experience. You may have both lost your homes or you've both been evacuated, and tomorrow they're great.
Uh-huh.
And in 6 months, you're still feeling it. You
right.
can't expect you to recover or start to feel better according to someone else's timeline. You have to
right.
give yourself permission to feel off and to grieve
right.
and to mourn. And,
uh-huh.
and what I'm realizing is how much I'm feeling called to experience my grief with the people in my community, and reading about people who are randomly starting to cry in the grocery store, and people who, you know, a cashier posted a post in this Facebook group that someone was in her checkout line and she looked at this person and could tell that they were just in it. And she said, can I give you a hug? And got out of her cashier line and came over and hugged the customer.
Uh-huh.
You know, like those are the things that I need to hear, because
uh-huh.
I need to be going through my grief with other people.
Right.
And maybe that's not what everyone needs.
Mm-hmm.
But testing the waters and at least trying to take some steps forward and knowing that it's not going to be a straight road.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be backslides and
mm-hmm.
there's going to be frustration. And if you have lost your home and everything, then you have to deal with all the red tape and all of that. And it's not easy.
No.
So I feel like there's a lot of permission that people need to remember to give themselves
and
to,
you know,
feel off.
Recovery groups is interesting. I think that's what we're, you know, it's not about tragedy groups. It's about recovery groups and getting your strength. And, you know, I actually went up to Healdsburg. I had an appointment to go to, and the woman wasn't sure she was going to be here, and then she called and she was. So I was driving through the areas of Fountain Grove and the areas that were really, came
yeah.
right down to the road and crossed the road and some of the bigger things. And I couldn't look. First of all, I was trying very hard to stay focused with driving.
Yeah.
And I could take in a little bit to my right or a little bit to my left. When I came back down, I got a better view of, you know, like it was coming off of a hill a little bit because it was an incline. And it was unbelievable in words that I couldn't even put into the experience of seeing things that I saw every day that I traveled.
Yep.
In the condition of that what they are now,
right.
And just and that was a grief process because I had to feel what it felt like to experience that. And as Phoenix has said, it's about being in the moment. And
yeah.
If it's going to be crying, it's going to be crying.
Okay.
If it's, you know, suddenly something triggers it. I've noticed that even watching some shows, I have loved these shows, but I can't watch them.
No, me too.
It's not that I want to see Moana 24/7, which might be a good idea. Anyway,
I was going to watch that finally,
yeah.
And I remember hearing that the end is emotional, and I decided, nope.
It is emotional.
I don't want emotion.
Yeah.
I want stupid, campy, silly.
Yeah.
All that I can digest right now.
It's very, you know,
Project Runway.
Well, there you go. It's a reality show of a different nature that's not, you know, like they're out in the woods trying to keep themselves alive.
Yes.
But I found being with my family, with my stepdaughter and her family, with my very dear family friend. Yesterday was the first day I felt, when I say normal, there will never be a normal because the normal for what was is now totally changed.
Right.
But it felt that I was, my life had started to get back into a motion forward, and we did these errands, and we had some time together. We came back to my place. We watched some of our favorite shows that I had taped, and, you know, it felt, and then the rain came, and what I found is I came back after dropping her off, because she doesn't drive. I got on the couch with my two dogs. I was going to watch another show. I didn't turn it on because the rain started, and I just laid there and listened to the rain. I didn't go to sleep. I just laid there for an hour and a half and just listened. And it put me at such peace that I, something like that, you know, I mean, these are things that each person is finding their own way. And some of us we can give hints to and it will work or it might not and something else will.
And that's the other thing I would say is if you try this one thing as a coping mechanism, and I don't mean doing drugs or drinking alcohol.
Sure.
Yes, those are ways to cope, but they actually, and this is proven, because I did my fair share of drinking this last week. I drank more beer last week than I have since I was 20.
Oh, my gosh.
I won't even go into it. However, all that does is it's a depressant. So it pushes all of that shit down, and it's fine in the moment, but you have to deal with it eventually.
Exactly.
And so if you're using that to suppress, it's gonna catch up with you, right? I also I have a prescription for anti-anxiety medication.
Mm-hmm.
I took that 4 or 5 days in a row. I take it that often.
Mm-hmm.
I usually only take it when I have to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And I used what I had
mm-hmm.
keep me going because mm-hmm. I also had to hold my shit together so my 15-year-old wouldn't think the world was ending.
Right.
Which is what I was convinced of.
Well, yeah, I mean, you think about it. The world as we know it was ending and has in its own way ended. But it is
try the one thing.
Yep.
If that doesn't work, you try the next thing. And maybe you can't try 3 things in a row. And so you sink back and you just wallow in it for a minute.
Uh-huh.
And then when you get another surge, you try another thing.
Uh-huh.
It's just taking baby steps forward and knowing that you are still moving forward.
Oh, yeah. And there are moments when, bless the people that don't know that they're triggering you so you can release.
Yeah.
Events that happen and you get really angry and you just let go, not necessarily at them, but you get in your car and you start screaming or you go in your house or whatever it is, you huff around.
Yeah.
And what you're doing is venting the anger that you feel at what has happened.
And that's happening too.
Yes.
Thing, especially traffic's really bad. A lot of roads are closed.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are having to take alternate routes. And so things are congested.
Mm-hmm.
And people are much shorter fused
mm-hmm.
than they might normally be
mm-hmm.
because we're all frayed nerves right now.
Yeah.
We're all living on an edge,
mm-hmm.
on a nice edge.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, you have to be a little bit more patient.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be a little bit more understanding. And especially in the car, I turn into a different human. I have no patience when I'm in the car. I get pissed and angry and frustrated fast.
Uh-huh.
But I've been trying to give a little bit more spacious words.
Right.
Everyone is feeling it. Everyone is feeling it. It's in literally in the air we are breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And that's the, so either it's the fire or it's the water. Someone said this, and it really is true. It became like a war zone.
Yeah.
And so for those people of us who are experiencing this in whatever levels, it is also making our humanity come into effect.
Yeah.
Of all the people that are in war zones.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I lost it a few days ago thinking, like, the level of panic that I've been holding for so many days in a row is exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, all the levels.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that there are people who have lived in this state their whole lives breaks my freaking heart.
I know.
I don't know how the human spirit can handle that.
That's it. And that is, you know, we all realize how this has affected us,
yeah.
How people in Florida and Texas and, you know, have been affected by the hurricanes and Puerto Rico and
yeah.
the Virgin Islands and, yes, even Ireland.
Yeah.
And when we look at that and the insensitivities of different people, be they individuals in the common environment or they are in our political and social schemes that are bigger,
yeah.
is beyond even my consciousness to say, how can you be so insensitive
right.
to the suffering and think it's like, you know, the same thing that they talk about when people are talking about not wanting something in their neighborhood, so they're called NIMBYs, not in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same attitude
yeah.
that I just look at and I go, where are you coming from?
Right, right. And I have to say, there's been wildfires. My friends in Oregon just barely, their home just barely made it through
mm-hmm.
terrible wildfires up there. And I was heart-wrenched and worried for them, but I didn't really get it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I've experienced that level, like, I was so grateful that I could reach out to them and say, this is what I'm feeling today, and for them to go, yeah, that sounds about right. You're okay,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's hard if you've never been through a disaster of this scale to know what it feels like or to think, oh, well, you know, that's a bummer. But this is intense. If I had not lived through this last couple of weeks, I don't think I ever could have fathomed what it really felt like. And I am on the lucky end of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Basically nothing happened to
right.
me, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I am just watching my friends and neighbors go through the real hard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even that, I feel like, oh, I'm exhausted.
Oh,
I'm drained.
I know. So when I say pamper yourself,
yeah.
give yourself something, you know, you made it through, you're walking.
Yeah.
You may not have what you had, or you had to leave what you had, and then you get to come back, and you're like, oh, thank you. It really is a thank you, but it's also small little things for yourself. It was
yeah.
weird. I left the house, and God knows I didn't even, Goddess knows, it was kind of like I didn't think I was ever going to see it.
Yeah.
And I came back on that Thursday, and I walk in, and I have a gardenia tree. And she's a very prolific when it's the summer and it's nice and warm. And I looked over there, and there's this gardenia starting to blossom and
mm-hmm.
open. And I thought, thank you.
Yeah.
And there was a bush down the way that I found that had more gardenias. And, you know, to me, talking to my ancestors and to deceased relatives and family and my husband, my deceased husband, it's like this was to me a sign.
Mm-hmm.
It will flower again.
Oh, yeah.
And this was a blessing. And, you know,
yeah.
there were certain things that spoke to me because I kept looking for them. I kept opening to them.
Sure.
And that's another part of who we are.
Absolutely.
Is being or being able to not only feel the fear that everyone is feeling or the indignation or the joy, it's to see the signs. And when I tell clients, look for the signs, it could be as simple as a snail coming across your lawn. It is true.
Yeah.
It's those little things.
Yeah. I just want to add in there, too, about pampering yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If it is something that is not, if you are financially unable to pamper yourself
mm-hmm.
or do something kind for yourself,
mm-hmm.
ask for help.
Exactly.
Because the one thing I've seen for sure is community comes together. And if you need something, if you need help, say, I need help. And I know that's hard. I suck at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to do that. I had to ask for huge help this week, a huge help.
Mm-hmm.
And it was granted. My need was fulfilled, but it was mm-hmm. so hard to ask.
Of course it is. And, you know, when my husband died, it was the first time I had to learn to really ask for help
yeah.
outside of my family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of people that are friends and loved ones. But it's important.
Absolutely.
It's important. So with that in mind.
We made it a whole hour.
We did make a whole hour.
I thought we were going to go 10 minutes and then be like, I'm so tired.
It's a way to, this is our way of doing therapy.
Thanks for listening to our therapy session, everyone.
Really. But we will be back on track next week.
Yes.
We haven't quite got an idea how our schedule is going to be.
Right. Well,
we do not.
Next week is Samhain.
Yes.
And then after that, we're going to figure that out as soon as the show ends tonight.
And we will then be up and running with things that we will be treating you to from now through the end of the year.
Yes. Okay. And the website will be updated soon. It is very behind on updates, but it is still a place to go, witchpriestesscauldron.com. If you have questions or comments, if you want to get a free reading on the air when we do our Ask a Witch segment, which is coming up.
Yes, it is.
In the next couple of weeks of
mm-hmm.
episodes. So please do visit us and share. And if you have something that you want to share about your experience through a natural disaster, please reach out. We would love to hear from you.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And on that note,
thank you.
Thank you. And good night.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be.